for many years, you were really, I guess, the guiding force behind the seine fishery and salmon fishery and gillnet as well throughout Southeast. And
well, here in the Petersburg-Wrangell area, I was I was the area biologist. So, yeah, it was a number of years, especially in the early and mid '70s, where it was a disaster for everyone. It was hard to manage. There weren't any fish around. Some of the recent years in the 2000s, we've caught more fish in one opening than we'd catch in a whole season. So there was a lot of heartache. People worried about losing their boats and being able to feed their families. And it was a tough time for everyone. But, you know, with Mother Nature and a little bit of a change in management, we've been able to bring it around.
And in those days, I imagine you heard a lot from the fleet in terms of why we can't fish and why things aren't open.
Yes, some of my old skippers were some of the most vociferous people. I say that kindly, you know.
Why retire? Just had enough?
Oh, no. I love my job. As one of my assistants told me one time, he says, William, you've got the best job in the world. And I really do feel I had a great job. I turned down moving up the line. I wanted to stay in touch with people and actually manage a resource. And, yeah, it's been a great job. Why retire now? I guess it's time to move on. Troy's ready to take over, and he's going to do a great job.
Troy Tinas. And you talked a little bit about hands-on managing the resource. That included things like actually getting in the plane and flying out and looking at fish and that kind of?
Yeah, Joe, I spent a lot of time in planes. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of hours, but I glanced back to see how many stream surveys I'd done, and it was somewhere between 25 and 30,000 individual stream surveys where I actually flew or walked counting fish. So that was, I loved flying, and I'll certainly miss that.
Any bear encounters when walking those streams?
Oh, a few bear encounters, yeah. It's it's always an eye-opener when you meet one of those big brown things close up, and they're not happy to see you.
Was that your favorite part of the job, being out on actually on streams and out looking at fish versus behind a desk?
Well, if anyone says they like being behind a desk, I've got to meet that person yet. That and diving also was did a lot of dives, thousands of dives over the years, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Least favorite part of the job over the years?
Least favorite part of the job, probably going to some of the meetings that I don't mind meetings where things are getting done, but sometimes, especially dealing with our counterparts across the border, it was just a standoff, and it took a lot to finally get the first salmon treaty.
And the Board of Fish meetings are so long these days, too. You've had to sit through your share of those, I imagine.
Yeah, when I went to my first one in 1976 in Soldotna, we went through the game. It was combined fish and game. So we went through everything in the state in about 12 days. Now we can't even get through just fish in Southeastern in 12 days.
And the industry, has it changed dramatically over the years?
The industry has changed dramatically. I think the ability to process fish has increased quite a bit, and the ability to work with the department has also improved. I can't say enough for the cooperation I've gotten with the processors on just knowing how many fish are being caught. Back in the old days, it was difficult at times to find out how many fish are being caught. Now with the communications, that certainly isn't a problem, and the fact that the processors are very open with the department, and so we know exactly what's being harvested, and that's important.
And at the same extent, salmon are a kind of resource where you don't know what's out there until they come back and you have that catched account. But you do have that weekly and sometimes even daily numbers coming in these days when in a fishery.
That's right. Everyone always asks what the forecast is because people have to make plans. But we certainly we don't throw the forecast out the window, but almost once the fishery starts, because that's why we do all the surveys and keep track of all the catches. We want to see what's actually happening rather than what we think is going to happen.
And Alaska is kind of touted as an example, even nationwide and worldwide, as of a sustainable fishery. I guess a little bit of pride in having a hand in that?
I have a lot of pride in that. It was interesting a number of years ago, about 7 or 8 years ago, I got a call from someone that was setting up a TV program. They were going to do a special on fisheries of the world, and they went down the list of, well, this fishery's been decimated, and this fishery's been decimated, and this one, and we've been to all those other ones, and now we want to come up to Alaska and talk to you. And I said, well, you're going to be disappointed if you want to do this all on fisheries that have gone down the toilet. You know, we're at the top of our game here in salmon management in Alaska. And they said, oh, no, we want to have you as the last thing, showing how things should be done. So, yeah, there was a lot of pride in helping to bring the resource back.
Are there any funny stories or scary stories over the years?
I don't know if I should tell any stories on the radio, but okay. Some of the scariest ones, of course, were flying. When always fly with the best pilot you can have, and that's one of the things I passed on to Troy.
And you have flown with not always the best pilot.
Yep, all come very close several times to ending it all.